I just wondered tonight if maybe you had a question. I believe I got the young fellows with me tonight. One of them anyway that was here the other night. Dobie and this one of them that was with us the other night. Certainly glad to have him back with us. All right, has anybody got a question tonight? We'll ask a question or two and maybe we can comment. Might get two or three questions answered. And then, of course, we might not. We might just get one started and on that we might go. We also ministered the other night on some things. I believe they called the head, I don't know what they called it. We was talking about the head of the corner. I don't know what they named the tape. We brought out some revelation that I would like for the different ones to got a hold of, because it's real significant that we understand times and conditions. Jesus went so far as to say that if you do not understand times and conditions, as to the signs of the time, he said, you are a hypocrite. He said, because the people of the world, they discern the weather conditions, you know, as to be able to predict the weather. And said, we being children of God, to know when it's near, nigh, even at the door. He said, if you can't discern the signs of the time, he said, you're a hypocrite. So tonight, if all God lined all of us up and we went by one at a time, I wonder how many hypocrites we'd have here tonight. As to them that cannot discern the signs of the seasons. Times. Or that is to say that if you can't discern the signs of the time, he called you a hypocrite for this reason. One of the reasons is because if you had been living right, you could have. But you're just religious and you're not really praying, fasting, seeking God or following God. Therefore, you cannot discern the signs of the time. Because you are a hypocrite. You're just religious enough to be with the people and be numbered as a child of God. And really, you don't know nothing about God. Don't know nothing about what's happening. So he said, you're just far enough along to be a hypocrite. All right, so then, Brother Taylor is asking a question. What does he mean about shortening the days for the elect's sake, lest there shouldn't be any flesh spared? What does he mean by that? Jesus definitely said that. He spoke of the signs of the end time in 24, Matthew 24. And he spoke of the sign of my coming. See, they asked him the question in Matthew 24, tell us, when shall these things be that Jesus had spoken to them of? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? The sign of his coming. And Jesus began to answer them and say, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilence, and earthquakes, in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All right, now we know that nation has rose up against nation. Even right at the present moment, I believe that the powers that are opposing Israel has threatened America as to kill some of their leaders because Israel went in and took one of their leaders. And it's just been a riffraff of nations continually for a number of years. For nation shall rise against nation, set in kingdom against kingdom, and thus this has been all down through the islands and different places. There's different little countries that are continually rising up, overthrowing the government. Another one set in and another one set in. And not too long ago, there was a war between the queen and another little nation. So, he says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, we keep hearing of wars, 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 and there's more rumors of more wars. He said, now don't be troubled when all these things come to pass. He said, but the end is not yet. The end is not yet. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. So then we've entered into the beginning of sorrows. We know then that we are in the beginning of sorrows. As much we know. Already entered into the beginning of sorrows. Because he said when these things start happening, this is the beginning of sorrows. And of course, as I said here a few nights back, it's obviously the beginning of sorrows because little children are being ravished. There are many, many little children, little boys and girls that have, they've never been found since a year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And some of them are dead, some are ravished, some of them I find their little lives are wrecked. A lot of daughters, sons, they're just wrecking their lives. Adulterous, don't care. Sinful, don't care. Boys and girls in and out prison, ain't even enough room for them. I heard not too long ago that in the women's prison that some of the women have to sleep on the floor or walk around while the others sleep on the bunks and they have to interchange. And I'd been praying for quite a long while here a year or so ago, 2 or 3 years back, a number of years back now, that God would let some of them out of prison. And sure enough, the prison's filled up to where they started letting them off on the weekend and fixing it to where they could go out and work in diversion centers and all kinds of things, and letting some of them out with minor charges. But anyway, this is the beginning of sorrows. We see every bit of this happening. This is horrible. But yet it's the beginning of sorrows. He said, "And for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." We hear about all kind of earthquakes, all kind of famines, horrible famines, and pestilence. All these are the beginning of sorrows. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Of course, they are delivering us up in the courts, Jim Jones everything. And then many are being offended at the gospel. You preach the gospel, they run off and they betray. And he goes on to explain how they'll kill mother and father and hate one another, "and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many," which of course that's happening everywhere. Many people have been deceived with all kinds of religions. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Oh, that is worldliness, lust, frolic, all of these things as to the passions of the flesh, money, goods of the world, prestige, positions, careers. Iniquity is on the upward trend. It's abounding, and it sparkles with the dewdrops of the morning. And he said, because of this, the love that people have had for God, many of them, their love will wax cold. And he said there'd be a great falling away. He said, "For the end shall not come before the great falling away." And I read a little article not too long ago where it spoke of less and less young people turning to the ministry. Said chiefly because daddies and mothers are discouraging them, saying that it's better to have some other profession in life. You make more money, have more prestige. And many people, less and less, a lot of young people as well as older people, less and less, they turn to God. The great falling away has come. Narrowing down to what Jesus called the little flock. Then he says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And this gospel of the kingdom, when you say this gospel of the kingdom, the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into it. The apostles preached the kingdom And that's what we're preaching. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and receive the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus said to the Jews, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight. So then, since John, the kingdom has come, and the will of God is to be done in the earth as in heaven, to redeem the earth. And that's what we're doing, is being about our Father's business to set up His kingdom, to redeem the earth, to overthrow every other power in the earth or subdue it to Christ. And He said, in this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is one thing the satellite has to do with, where we're going on satellite. Others have been on satellite, and the gospel is being hurled around the world. He goes on to say, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Remember now, they said, and what shall be the sign of your coming? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. Coming in the clouds of heaven, they shall see Him coming, the sign of His coming. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. The flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant and to drink, eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus went on in the 25th chapter to tell of the virgins, of how that they would be found at his coming. Some would have the oil and some would not. But I want to comment just a little bit on this. See, it says, when you see the desolation, Daniel said when the abomination of desolation come, that would be the end of the world. Jesus said in one place that the abomination that maketh desolate would be when Jerusalem was compassed about with armies. And I brought out on tape here not too long ago as them that are coming together in the union of the common market over in Europe, and how there'd be a consolidation of things, and how that this one leader would rise, and how that they would unite in one confederation of army. Which you know very well that when Gorbachev come over, that was one of the things he was working for when God let those earthquakes hit. But anyway, here it is that over in that country, they're coming together. I told you how the Jews would be involved in that, how that this man would confiscate until he had control of the whole world through the numbering system. We mentioned how that the prisoners are just about on the verge of being forced to take a number. The employees, and we brought out something else of some that the army, they're taking the number. Already, these things are happening already. It's like Brother Branham said. He said that he saw, toward the end of time, he saw this in a vision. He said cars was made more and more like an egg right about the end of time. Well, you know that's what they've done. They've dubbed them off and changed, round them off, that new foreign look. And I thought it right striking because Brother Johnny gave me a paper. It must have been probably this long and maybe this wide of an advertisement of Dodge. And it said the spirit of Dodge. And it had a whole bunch of little cars made like an egg. And it said, don't get egg on your face. And it showed how these cars were being made like eggs. They were just like eggs. And I thought that was striking. The man of God should say such thing. And then here comes this thing as Dodge, as big as they are, publishing these pictures and talking about them looking like eggs. I thought that was real striking. So it just proves that we're at the end of time. We've already entered into sorrows. And here these things are as to many things that we could say about them. We could just go on for hours. But a lot of these things we have on tape that we would say tonight. So it says this is a horrible time for Jerusalem. If anybody's on the housetop, don't even try to get back into the house. Just run as hard as you can, as it would say. Them which is in Judea, that is around over in Jerusalem, back in there. See, the land of Judea, it's boxed off as to the land of Judah and the land of Zebulun and whatever. See, over there, flee. Get out of that. Because, of course, that's where the old city is, there in Jerusalem. See, and if they're on the housetop and when this thing strikes, don't try to get nothing. Just get out of there. Try to save your life. And if a mother has a little child, it's going to be a sorrowful time. And said, pray that your flight, it's not in the winter because they'll have to run to the mountains for cover. And it is cold in the Judean mountains. It's bad at that time. And then it says not on the Sabbath day. Because on the Sabbath day they're not supposed to go but a day's journey. And that would put them right in the fix to where the enemy could overrun them. So this is a great time of tribulation such as the world has not known. They're going to ravish the women, kill the little children. They're just going to go in with all brutality because this great leader that's going to take over through the common market as to not being able to buy or sell, when this thing gets to going real good, even Gorbachev said, bring it on into Russia. When it gets to going real good, by 90 or 91, whatever, in this administration of Bush, when the thing gets to going real good, then Antichrist is going to see it. And he's going to know then, once and for all, that whoever has control of that common market will be ruler of the world. He's going to know that because it's going to excel America. It's going to bypass America, and it's going to be such a great outstanding thing that all nations will connect with it, even Jerusalem. And this is where the covenant is going to come from. And there'll be a covenant made with Israel. See, it'll be a covenant of 7 years. Because when this thing comes into power, and the nations covenant with them, and they will covenant with them, even America, when they covenant with this great operation to ship things into America or import, and Jerusalem to raise up their economy, all nations will have a chance to sell their goods and put them on display. And this is going to be the greatest thing that has ever come. Going back to Babylon, it will prove to be as old Babylon, where the Bible speaks of immediately after these things take place, that Babylon will be torn down, this angel will fly through the heavens, and then they'll say, all these goods are gone from you, and the souls of men are gone from you, and all of the dainties are gone from you, and all of the linens are gone from you, and the good things to eat, and all these things. It speaks of it in Revelation, you can read it. All right, and during that time, all kind of people preaching and saying they're Christ are telling you this is the way, this is Christ, or whatever. And he said that this would happen. Now, remember, when this takes place, it'll be falling along about the middle of the week that Lucifer will be cast out of heaven because Israel will withdraw and break the covenant in the middle of the week. That'll have to do with the 144,000 that was sealed over in the book of Revelation 6 and 7 there. It will have to do with them. They will have already been sealed at the first of the week when the church went out, when John saw in Revelation 4 the church going up, the door opened in heaven, and he saw this great multitude in heaven, the church sealed. And then the 144,000 as the household of Jacob are the 12 sons of Jacob, the whole house of Israel being saved. For as it is written, out of Zion shall come a deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob. And the whole house of Jacob shall be saved. As I said, 12 sons, 144,000, 12,000 to a tribe. To show the whole house, because the other Jews, they'll come in just like you and I. The remnant of them, those Jews that are not in the 144,000, will be the woman that flees into the wilderness to go down across Jordan, down to what's referred to as a place of refuge, cities of refuge that they established having crossed the Jordan. Some people took their inheritance on that side, some tribes did. So they built cities of refuge there just as they did in Jerusalem. And of course, the Antichrist will follow them so far, and then whether it's sandstorms or whether it's earthquakes or whatever, God will fight for the woman. And this will rise up and these armies will be swallowed up and they'll get afraid to go into the wilderness after the woman. And they'll feel like the woman has perished in the wilderness. And they'll probably post guards coming over the Jordan, passing through where those tribes settled, going to the outer borders. Where the wilderness starts, they'll probably post guards to not let them come back in and just take it for granted that they perished in the wilderness because it's such a horrible situation. But nevertheless, after X amount of days, the woman shall be preserved in that wilderness, and after X amount of days, she'll come back to her husband, which signifies the time of the purification, as in the Old Testament, once the little one was born, caught up to the throne as to the father, and then the woman purified, and then she was brought back. Which right now, I spoke to some of our brethren about that here at Bethlehem. Right now, at this time, even having to do with Brother Jimmy Kirk, the little episode of Jimmy's life, he spoke of it and spoke of the time as to what he would do in the time, as to when he would do otherwise, which he's done exactly, he's worked exactly that way, and what it would have to do with Bethlehem as to the woman and as to the child. And of course, it's working out just perfect. So these things, spiritually speaking, are happening now here. See, there's a spiritual Jew A spiritual head is Christ. There is a natural Jew. A natural head is Jesus. And that which is in the spirit takes place before that which is in the natural. As to these spiritual things, the natural things take place first. As to our earthly habitation and substance, as to being sustained in the earth. That is to say, I've said this before, coming from Jerusalem eastward, coming from the east to the west, salvation of the Jew. Moving from the east to the west, God first sent a forerunner. Before he sent religion, he sent a forerunner. And that was the natural, coming from the east to the west. They come in like Cortez and the different ones, Balboa, and they discovered different places on the eastern and western coast, or eastern coast and move westward, or come in on the southern border. And you remember the story concerning Montezuma and some of them there down in Mexico. Cortez and these things, you have it in your history book. See, they forerun as to, when we say history or his story, as to the recording of what we have of the past. His story, they come from the east, they come to the west. And that was, historically speaking, of his story, as we say. Now then, that was first. In this, it's always the Jew first. The Bible said the Jew first. That's the natural side. When the Lord brings the nation to rule, it'll be the Jew first. He'll be in charge in Jerusalem. All the other nations will be subjected under the Jews as to rule and reign. And no nation will be over the Jews. And the Jews will judge them according to the mistreatment that they had while they were scattered among the nations. And they'll judge the nations accordingly. And they'll rule over the nations, even as the nations ruled over them. But we will rule over the Jews, because before the Jews come to power at the end of the tribulation period, that is to say in the millennium, we as a people, as a church, will be translated, caught up into heaven. John's door opened. Peter opened it at Calvary, the church ages. And then we walk up the seven steps as to the church ages, as we say. We get up there and the door's open, and as John, the disciple of love, showed it, we just go right in. And then we're seen in heaven as the great multitude following the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Well, anyway, there's so much to say in such a short time to say it in. Let me see if I can compact a few statements. So then we see that the natural historical side of it, we can see that something has already happened. Our natural children are forced to be educated with this, God suffering it, so that when we come to the spiritual side of it, we will already be like Paul, who for many years was a Bible scholar. These things was revelated to him because he had already indoctrinated himself with the natural side of it, even sitting under the counsel of great and mighty men. So in having this understanding, when God needed a great leader like Moses, Moses was learned in all of the ways of the Egyptians. Born of a lowly people, the Jews, just people that had nothing. And yet God let this thing go out as to kill the little children. The mother putting Moses in the little ark of bulrush. That is to say that they were going to use an ark of the covenant, as to being made as an ark with the cherubim's covenant and the mercy seat sitting on it, to show the rainbow over Noah's ark, and to show this little ark of the little bulrush, that this was going to be the thing of salvation, that was going to be what they would use as to follow. So he was put in a little ark as to being saved. Saved means salvation. You know, his salvation, his saving. Well, anyway, this went on, and then this man Moses, through this, became the son of Pharaoh. And by this, he was learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. So when God needed a great leader, he picked Moses, because Moses knew both sides of it. The Jew is to the double portion, like Benjamin. He knows the natural side of it. He has a government. He's been through the conflicts of the natural world. And when he comes into God, is to see the other side of it, not being blinded in part, but in revelation to receive this when the church goes out, they will know both spiritual and natural things. And they'll be able to relate to the spiritual side of it and the natural side of it. So then Jesus has a spirit, a quickening spirit, the second man Adam, will sit on the throne as their king, and they can relate to it. And we as spiritual people, having access to the new city of New Jerusalem and waiting for the new earth, they can relate to us and we can relate to them. And then we will relate to the people, the natural people, through the Jews. They can relate to us as a government and then relate to those people. We'll be as angels to them. Like right now, we can relate to the spiritual world and angelic beings, and yet we can relate to them people out yonder. That is to say, Jesus made in himself twain to be able to relate to heaven and to relate to earth. And this is why he stands on the water, one foot on the water, one on the land, his hands raised to heaven, the rainbow over his head. This is why that we are called ambassadors from that foreign country to these people. We're the voice of God. So then the Jews will be able to do this, and that will mean that during this time we'll have access to the garden as the angels did to Adam and Eve and as God did coming into the garden. We'll have access, and we, through them, will be judging. So the judgment will be given into the hands of the Son, that is to say, as to the Jews. But again, I remind you that right now there's a coming of a spiritual Christ. And in this, like a thief in the intellectual night, God is stealing out his people. The kingdom of God came at Jerusalem. And there at Calvary, in that day and season. And ever since then, it's been preached, and men, as to the inner man, has pressed their way into the kingdom. Tonight, I am in the kingdom of God. I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God because I pressed my way in. How did I press my way in? Against my feelings, against my thinking, against my gullible desires to the flesh, being born in the natural, against the obstacles of acquisition through me at God. That is Satan, a continual accuser of the brethren. That is to say, there is no good thing within the flesh. You're born to die in your first birth. So then I've wrestled against my flesh. He that overcometh, that is overcoming the flesh. I'll give to him to eat of the hidden manna, which means the revelational truths of God. And he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved, and the body shall be changed. So we could say much about that, but we have in fragmental parts as detailed those things on tapes and other places. So then we see what Jesus is saying about times and seasons. That means that when this great leader, that is in the middle of the week, Revelation 12, when this great leader comes on the scene, it will be in the middle of the week. Part of the tribulation period will be gone. The church will be gone. And then this man will do what Gorbachev wanted to do while the church is here. And when they take on one army, there'll be one commander. And that commander will command that all armies, all nations, he'll send out a decree, all nations. The Bible said, who shall be able to make war against him, and that he'll be in command of everything. And he'll command that they go up against Jerusalem for one reason. Jerusalem will join in a covenant with the common market for prosperity for their nation. All nations will. And in doing it in the middle of the week, they'll find out that it is more than just a common market as to prosperity of nation. But it's a confiscating by Satan, who in the middle of the week, according to the war in heaven, will be cast out. In that we will go up as the child. Wish we had time to really go into that and explain it. As the spiritual perspective, at the beginning of the week, the woman maturing 3 years before the man, 18 and 21. And then in the middle of the week, Daniel's last week, the last 7 years. Then all of a sudden, the Jews having been sealed at the first part of the week when the Gentiles went out, then they will come in and they will be caught up to Mount Zion, where Jesus will suddenly appear there at David's tomb. Caught up to Mount Zion, And they will by then have come through the first part of the tribulation period, over toward the middle of the week, for the Bible said they'll make the covenant for 1 week and it'll be broken in the midst of the week. Come over to the middle of the week, as Daniel said, where Revelation 12 shows the war in heaven, Satan being cast out. That's the middle of the week. So then the covenant will be made, but in the middle of the week, when Satan makes himself God, forces the mark, everybody that takes that mark, the Bible said they have no rest day nor night, but they're tormented forever and forever in the presence of God and the angels. So when he starts to bring in the mark to consolidate his kingdom, then the Jews are going to realize that it's not just prosperity, for as the Bible said, an Antichrist shall make craft to prosper. They'll see that he has made craft to prosper, but it's not just a prosperity, that he is making himself God and they will be his subjects. Then they'll withdraw. See, during all this time, these Jews will be saying, our Messiah is coming, our Messiah is coming, our Messiah is coming. And this man that hath control of everything, like God, the Bible said, tidings out of the east shall trouble him. And this is the tidings out of the east that shall trouble him. For these tidings shall keep coming. He'll say, well, I'm God. I've got control. He'll feel like he's everything. And he will be everything. And he will have control. And everybody will be doing opposites unto him. And then he'll force the mark to make sure that he consolidates his kingdom. Because Satan knows that the one that takes those marks will be defiled. And they can have no more part in the kingdom of God. So then these tidings out of the east that the Jews will not submit to him when it comes to Godship. They will for prosperity, but not for Godship. They are a secular people that will not submit to anybody. They never have. And I brought out a few days ago why that they will not. So it goes back to the old walk from Egypt to Canaan as non-leavened. They represent the non-leavened. They never mix when it comes to religion. Then the Bible said, with these tidings out of the east troubling him, he'll call all the armies together. He'll command every one of them to go down there against Jerusalem. When they go down there, Daniel said, and this is the abomination in the sight of God that maketh desolate. For the abomination will be the horrible, evil, hideous things that they do that is so filthy and ungodly. And this man projecting himself as God, taking over the temple and profaning the temple and all these kind of things as in the days of Epiphanes when the hog was offered on the altar and God got upset like as with Judas and let the man's guts gush out. The Bible said his bowels busted and gushed out. So it is kind of a repeat of that which was typical. And when they gather in there, that will be the abomination. And the desolation of it will be that Jerusalem will be made desolate. Because so far as God is concerned, if the holy city does not have the Jews there, and that in the sanctuary, the earth is desolate. That is, Jerusalem is desolate. And they'll drive them out. Jacob goes through the fire. And they'll be driven out. These Jews will be driven out of there. And it'll be just maybe a third part of something left, just so that they can control the city and enslave them. The others will be ravished. It'll be hard. It'll be so terrible. Tribulation, be murder, horrible things. The Bible such has never been done in the history of the world. And this is an abomination in the sight of God, and it is the desolation. For the whole city will become desolate of the people. Daniel said, when you see the abomination of desolation, Jesus said, when you see what Daniel said of the abomination, then you know that the end is there. Whereas this is in the middle of the week, and you won't see it because you'll be gone. But the other people in the earth will see this. So he spoke to the people as a whole. Now, one more thing. If you will notice, immediately after the tribulation of those days, this is the abomination of desolation. Following this, when that desolation happens, remember the saints are gone and you're the salt of the earth. And the Bible said, in that day, I'll send, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. We're not too far from Elijah coming. I know they say this will be two men in the earth. I know that. I know they say that. You know, I'm not here to dispute with them. They have to say whatever they understand. But I can assure you, according to what I understand, that Elijah himself will come. It won't be anybody going forth in the spirit of Elijah. It'll be Elijah. Elijah is not dead. And Elijah was under the law. And the law is that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So then, Elijah was under the law. He went away without death. He must return because he went away before the blood was applied. So he must return and die. Moses, it is said that he died and God buried him, but it's very obvious that Michael disputed with the angel of death, even Satan, and said, "The Lord rebuked thee, Satan," when he came from Moses' body. Moses, having been with God for 80 days on the mountain, had come to a place to where he had bypassed death, neither eating nor drinking. And when Satan come to claim that body, hoping to use that body, but when he came to claim it, Moses had already been in the glory of God so long he had went over. And when the thing was shown as to what it was, they haven't found his grave until today. And when I asked the Lord the question, I said, "Why is it?" I said, "Now, Lord, if you buried Moses all these many years, why haven't they found his body?" I said, "There's Abraham that was before Moses, many years before Moses, and they found his body. And there's Rachel, her body. There's Sarah, her body. And many other graves." I said, "Why is it that they have not found Moses' body?" I said, "Being such a great man." And the Lord simply said to me, "The dispute over the body, son." And said, "You find that Satan did not get the body. He came for it. But see, the Bible said that Moses' eyes had not waxed dim, even though he's 120 years old. The natural sources of his body had not abated." Now, we've got to look at one thing. And that is that if his eyesight had not waxed dim, if the sources of his body, the natural sources of his body, had not abated, then there's only one way God could have buried Moses, and that killed him. God would have had to kill him. He'd become a murderer. He'd have had to kill him. Because there's nothing said about Moses getting sick. There's nothing saying anything about Moses nearing the age of death. God would have had to murder Moses, which he did not do. So when Satan come for his body was preserved just like Elijah's. And the Lord said, "Look at the Mount of Transfiguration and you'll find Moses." And there he stood. And someone would say, "Well, that's Moses' spirit." But the question arises in my heart and yours like this. You truthful, you that are truthfully looking for right. Why would we say that that was Elijah's body, which we know it was? He went up in the fire chariot. And why would we say that was Jesus' body? Because we know it was. He walked with James and John up on the mountain. And then why would we say, "Well, that was Moses' spirit"? That wouldn't make any kind of sense at all to me. See, Moses is typical of the resurrected saints. Jesus is typical of the living saints. And Elijah is typical of the raptured saints, that is, the translated saints. So, one shows the prophets, the other shows those of faith as to the church, that is Jesus. And the other shows the resurrected saints. Moses, the resurrected saints, is under the law. Jesus shows the church, the head of the church. And Elijah shows the prophets. That is to say, the translated saints. All right. So when we look at this right here, we see immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened. See, now, if I take this and I go to the book of Revelation, which I've done this, we've got it on tape, you'll find in the book of Revelation it reads exactly like that. See, they ask, this is in Jesus' lifetime. And he tells them what will be the sign of his coming that shows it 2,000 years later. And it's real clear that the book of Revelation is speaking of the end of the world. And turn to Revelation 6 and we'll show it. I'm going to close in a few minutes because it's hot. But I'm just going to show you just for a minute again. You got it on tape somewhere. All right. Now we veered off of the immediate thought there. Just a little bit to bring in some things. In the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, read it now. Here it is. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun darkened, the moon won't give her light, the stars of heaven fall, the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven. All the tribes of the earth mourn. His angel comes together, his elect. Remember, Israel is also his elect. And this is where they come together also. Jesus said in the end of the world, the reapers would come, which would be the angels. Read it here in Revelation 6, just like Matthew 24. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Remember, Matthew 24, Jesus speaks of the fig tree. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captain, the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman hid themselves in the den. And in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? See, it's the same thing as Matthew 24. Make a comparison, you'll see it's identical the same. Now, when that happens, that means that already the seal has been opened for them that was under the altar. Remember that, because that's in the sixth seal. And the fifth seal tells us of them that was under the altar. Remember, by then, all four other seals have been opened. As to the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. All of those seals had also been opened by that time. And there wasn't but one seal left to be opened after the sign of his coming. There was still one seal to be opened after the sign of his coming. This goes down to the last of the chapter, then Revelation 7. And it goes over to the very end of Revelation 7. And when you come to Revelation 8, the very first thing it says, and the seventh seal was opened. That's the last seal. And that is when the seven angels begin to sound as with the trumpets. I brought this out a few days ago talking to somebody, and of course I'd love to be able to bring it out to you tonight, but we don't have time to go into those things. But anyway, once the sign of his coming comes, there's only one seal left to be opened. And that's the wrath of God poured out in Revelation 8 to bring the middle of the week. And I say again, the covenant shall be made for 7 years. Because they're going to make a covenant. And this covenant is supposed to be an indefinite thing with the people. But when they make it, Antichrist does not know that it's only 7 years left. That's why it is said God knows. So he said it'll just be for 7 years. And he said in the making of the 7 years, which would be the entirety of mankind, as to the natural world, in the midst of the week, it'll be broke. Satan won't know it's the last week. In the midst of the week, it'll be broke. Jerusalem will withdraw. And then the other things that led us into that thing concerning Moses. Here it shows then that the covenant will be broken. At this time, Moses and Elijah shall come back. Elijah did not die. Moses, the dispute over the body, he was seen with Elijah. And God said, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah as to the last days. And the Bible definitely speaks of the two prophets. In the same place where it says, I send you Elijah, it also said, remember my servant Moses. And sure enough, two prophets, as to the candlesticks, show up. And folks, as sure as you live in this world, that is the same body of Moses that the devil disputed with Michael over. And that's the same body of Elijah, the same two that God put on the Mount of Transfiguration that James and John saw and that we read about. That's the two candlesticks that stand before the God of all the earth. And we're on the verge of them coming now. So that means we're close to the end of the world. Everything's right down at the end of the world. In this, the sign of the Son of Man is on the verge of coming. What shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? And this is what he told them. He said, now when you see this, the sign of my coming, you know that it's nigh even at the door. Said there'll be great tribulation after the middle of the week there where the desolation comes and the Jews are driven out. There'll be great tribulation. Within three and a half years from that time, the church that was caught up 3 or 3.5 years before then will suddenly come back. And it will be as Noah's Ark before the tribulation, riding over the flood, setting down in the new earth, which forms the rainbow as of the church ages, as we say, or that is to say, the child being caught up to the throne like Jesus on Mount Zion. It means he's caught up to the millennium regime. He's caught up to the millennium regime. That is, he rules there. That is the natural perspective as to the Jews, as to the 144,000, as to the members of that head which Jacob represented, Jesus, to rule, to reign in the natural earth. And the spiritual perspective of the child being caught up to the throne is not to ride over the tribulation and set down in the millennium as with the Jew, to be the head of the nation under their king, Jesus. Boy, when they accept their king, then they have their nation. But with you and I, it's the spiritual thing as to the spiritual Christ and the spiritual Jew being caught up to the heavenly throne where Christ, through Jesus, spoke and said, my kingdom is not of this world, when they ask, will ye at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not given to you to know that. That is, they rejected Jesus. So the time of the restoring of the kingdom of Israel is the millennium, where Jesus sits on the throne for 1,000 years and then turns it over to the Spirit at the end of the 1,000 years, that the Father, whose hair is as white as wool, shall be all in all, even the Son being subject. So then it's very evident that the spiritual perspective is that when I was born again and you was born again, or the church was born again, that they went into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God went into them. And since Calvary, we've been preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. And men are pressing their way against the flesh, Satan within the flesh, to get into this kingdom, to get into the mind of Christ, to deny their thoughts, everything. We don't have time to get into that. But I said all that to get around to one place here. And it said, and except those days should be short, there should be no flesh saved. All right, what then does he mean by the shortening of the days or no flesh being spared? He means these days as ranging as like from the middle of the week, or these days as we would put it, these days after that the gospel has been witnessed in all of the world, then the desolation. That is to say, from that time, the Bible said tribulation so great and so mighty, it'll be bombs bursting, it'll be people fighting, it'll be people slaughtered, the blood will run to the horse's bridle, even in the battle of Armageddon, even after this particular time. But taking it all in, he said, if God didn't do something to shorten the days for the Jews' sake, his natural elect, there wouldn't be any human beings left. All of them would be slaughtered. All of them would be killed. Everything would be gone. But said, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now again, I said that just to answer Brother Taylor's question there, but again, I preached and brought it out as to the spiritual side of it. There is a spiritual Israel, which is called the true Israel. Everything that the Jew goes through, he goes through. In the book right here, just before the tribulation of the days of the Jews, it is said that these that were redeemed that are in heaven came out of great tribulation, which means you are also going through a tribulation that the Jews will never experience. And that is, in the spirit, you are going through a great spiritual tribulation, oppression of mind, Satan trying to trample down the minds of humanity. It has never been such like as in all of the world. That's why the younger generation of boys and girls is turning to dope and turning their passions loose. They can't stand it. See, they're not being brought up into church. The Bible said the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. See, the parents won't live right, won't tutor them right, won't really get down to business. The parents have a longing to look back into Egypt, to have businesses and money, houses and prestige and careers and all these kind of things. Running after the world and celebrities and all kind of things. Bebop singers, dancers. And because of this, the children have gone crazy. They don't have anything to control them, anybody to help them. And mother and daddy ain't nothing but for something. They're just something for them to argue with and fuss with and say, bless God, I'll beat you. Bless God, I said you can't do this and all that kind of junk. You know, there ain't nothing that you can do. They'll do what they want to if they have to blow your brains out as they go out the door. It's been proven many, many times over in our day. And you can't control the wife. Just like two or three nights ago, I was praying. It's last night or two. I heard something say, kill the baby. About 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I got up. That morning when I got up, they said a mother had killed two of her children and then jumped out in front of a martyr train and killed herself. Who's going to stop her? If she wants to open the door and jump out, a devil's got her, you can't stop her. Out she goes and splatters of brains. Foolishness of women to do it. But they get in that kind of condition. I said, well, nobody never do that. You got some sitting right here that's already done it. Sitting right here in the congregation that's already done it. See, so they just, people get to where they're exploding. They can't control themselves. They just grab their babies and dash their brains out against the wall. And they say, my God, what have I done? Why did I do it? But they get that urge and say, I can't help it, I can't help it, I can't help it. See, and faith is made shipwreck. A woman is a fool to go without God. And a man is a fool to go without God. This is one of the darkest days, intellectually speaking, as to darkness and power that's ever been. You don't have the power to control yourself without the Holy Spirit. But when you have God on the inside, the Bible said, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Sin, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'll give you power over all the powers of the enemy. But when you don't have Christ on the inside, you can't handle it. Somebody said, well, bless God, Brother Pike, I've handled it all these years. No, you haven't. You know that. No need to lie against the truth. You've done things you had no business doing. You've messed around in things you had no business messing around in. Your mind has been on the world. Your mind has been on the flesh. Your mind's been on money. Your mind's been on everything, passions and whatever. A man came to me in the last day or two. Said, I told you that my mind wasn't on those things. He said, but I confess. So I confess the truth. I know now that it was. Been with us a long time. The only difference between you and him is that you just didn't make your confession. See, so you can't handle it. And the other things that happen, like these children killing and going to jail and all these things happening, speeding, going around the curve, taking poison, blowing their brains out, all these kind of things, they can't handle it either. They can't handle it. There ain't nothing you can do about it. But I tell you one thing. I've learned this, that if you're going to give them even a fighting chance, you better stay on your knees with God. Stay on your knees with God. And God commanded the preachers to howl all night long laying in the altar. Preachers ain't doing that, folks. They ain't doing no howling. They ain't doing no praying. I brought you statistics on it not too long ago, even of the Pentecostals. And the average Pentecostal minister didn't average 15 minutes a day praying. That was years ago. And the average member didn't average 3 minutes a day, I believe it was. Number of years ago. The average church member, talking about Pentecostals, whatever they said, didn't average 3 minutes a day praying. So where would they be now? It's no wonder that they've gone after ball games and everything else. I tell you what, go to most any church you want to, pick out anybody you want to. Once they leave church, try to talk to them about God. And I don't care what you do. It won't be long. They'll be back on the race cars and television, their favorite movie star and whatever, and what the movies is doing, and you're going out to supper and whatever. I know I've done tried it. I tell you what, take some of the Bethlehem people. Try to talk to them. I have a terrible time talking to them about God. I come up, and I think, now here's a group of brothers talking about God over here. And I get there, and they're talking about this boy's truck, or they're talking about the motor, or they're talking about this is tore up, or the woman's talking about her dishes, or her relatives, or whatever, you know. You don't find him talking about God, not even in the church. They'll be sitting in the church here. And they're not even supposed to do that in the church. They're supposed to be talking about holy things in God's house. You know, I go up in the recording room. I go down the printing room. I go anywhere. Same thing. And when you do take the conversation and talk about God, when they get through, the only time that you find a lot of them talking about God is when they don't want to do nothing for God. And the others are working over here, and this group over here is talking. And rather than work, they'll talk to try to keep your attention so that you won't put them to work. Coming in and out. I was telling somebody today, take all of you people, even come into Bethlehem. Most of them don't do anything for God. I got up day before yesterday. I come out early because I had some plans for God. I'd mentioned it to somebody. If there was some women working, I didn't see them. Probably there was. Usually I got some women working somewhere. But anyway, a lot of the women don't work. They just come and go like the men. They just gossip, backbite, sit around, find fault. It's evident because we don't have any production. If we had workers, we'd have production. You know, somebody said, well, I thought you were talking about them Baptists and Methodists. No, I'm talking about them Bethlehemites. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. I come out, I looked, I couldn't find nobody in the printing room, not a soul. I couldn't find nobody up here in this recording office, nobody in the video office, nobody in the church. I couldn't find nobody anywhere. And I finally went around the corner and I found two men. One was sitting down writing, and the other was drinking Coke and talking. And I was so tore up, I just turned and walked off. I wasn't even going to say anything to anybody because I didn't want to chide with them. I didn't want to hurt them. But one of the men called me. Otherwise, I'd have walked right on off. You understand what I'm saying, folks? You're going to be rewarded according to your works. And all of your works is of the flesh because you're doing those things that are of the flesh. That's why I spoke to you the other night. I heard something say, tell them to strengthen the things that remain or I'm going to move their candlestick. And I come up here and I read it to you or told it to you. He has already let me know that at Bethlehem, that if you don't strengthen the things that remain, you've already missed it. You've already waited too late. I told you I was going to do it, and you did it. I watched the vision. I saw you come, and you come in after hours to do his work. And in the vision, it showed that you'd been out doing your thing on your jobs and your business and doing the things that you wanted to do. And I was pleading all the time in your behalf. And finally, at the end of the day, when you've done all the things in the flesh you wanted or failed in whatever you was doing, whatever it was, you come. And you said, we're ready. And it was too late. In the vision, it was too late. See, but I tell you, like I told some of the others, what you can do, there's a few that it's not too late for in the sense that they are younger. They come in later. And they've got a little chance to get in here in the end time. Where the others neglected it and would not do it, they've got a chance to get in here and pick up a few things and go on with it because the rest of you are not going to do it. Not only did you not do it, but like I told them, you're not going to do it. But many, many hundreds of times, and I'm saying hundreds without exaggeration, times that I pleaded with you, talked to you over in the morning, you still wouldn't do it. And now you've got the things that you wanted. Like Jesus said, your houses are left unto you desolate. One till you say, blessed is it. He that cometh in the name of the Lord, or a chance to work for God. But you went and done whatever you wanted to do. And like those prophets that preached, it's too late, and it tormented the people. And they killed those prophets. I'm here to tell you it's too late. It's too late for America. It's too late for the world. They waited too long. It's too late. So then, the few that are just going to get in, like Ruth, as to the stragglers of the end time, to help carry on what little there is in this closeout of the days of the Gentiles. You've got a little bit of chance to do something because God is merciful in that you haven't understood, you haven't been in it, you didn't know, and he's given you opportunity. But I said this to some of the younger men the other day. If you think that you're going to come in here and be in here today and go out and drink a beer tomorrow, and come back over here and say, well, bless God, I'm going to believe. Like somebody told me the other day, I'm going to believe anyway. I thought, no, you're not going to believe. I didn't tell him that, but I thought, you're not going to believe. You're going to make believe and die and go to hell because you don't do that. You're rewarded according to your works. And when you drink beer, that's your work. And I told some of them, I said, and some of them have been doing this. I said, as long as you take filthy magazines and you're supposed to be holding office or be part of a church work and you gaze at this filthy mess, or on television, or some of you boys are doing it, some of my leaders here is letting go on at home, go out and get movies, you know, and they blot the movie out. You know, over here, this looks bad. They blot it out and they say, Daddy, we've got it. We blotted all of that out. We said, sorry, son, you can keep it. You've done the right thing. Like some of them came to me and brought magazines. They said, Brother Pike, we want to show you something. Then I saw this blotted out and that blotted out. And I thought, well, what is this? As well as old dirty, filthy stuff, we just blotted it out. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? How the sheep take care of the pastor and keep dirty things away from him? I thought, how? You know, if there's a word called stupid, you know, if there's any place to put it, I said, a lot of times that's the place it would be applied. The shepherd is supposed to keep the dirty, filthy things away from the parents lay up for the children. And you do those things, I know there's some things you can blot out. You might be able to keep a page or two. Some you can tear out. But by the time you get through going through that garbage can, you're dirty and filthy, and your mind just as dirty and filthy as that magazine. The first time you've seen that thing full of stuff, you should have thrown it in the garbage. Stop them from sending it to you. My wife, you, all of them needs to write a personal letter to them people. Send them a tract and a testimony and tell them like we wrote some here a while back. Not to send that stuff. Dude, I don't want it. So see, Moses was faithful in all of his house. But many of you have missed it. You can't play around, young folks, no more than the elders. The elders, the parents, lay up for the children. They've eaten sour grape. Children's teeth are on edges. That's where you're at. So then what can we do? I've told you over and over. Over and over. All right, let's stand together. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I told you years ago. I said, someday I'll tell you this. I said, you'll see. I said, for God's sake, don't let me have to tell you. But I said, I know the way that you do. I'll have to tell you. Somebody told me, I believe it was yesterday, said, Brother Pike, I remember so well when you said those things. And said, it's come to pass exactly the way that you said. But daddies, you did it. Some of you have lost your prosperity because of it. You're going down to the bottom. A man come a few days ago and told me about one of our leaders here that's so prosperous. I mean, he was prosperous. How he's just gone down, down, down. Now I understand even his wife is going to work on a job. As much as we preached against it. I know some of you ladies, you'd like to go up there and work at the hamburger place. I know. You want to act like a young girl, you know, up there, you worry your husband about you're going to get you a job. You're going to get you a job. Well, it'll come out someday. It'll come out someday. It's like Sister Zimmerman said, you don't miss him till he's gone. Said, mine's gone to hospital. I never realized I missed him so much till he's gone. You wait till something happens to that husband or he retires on you and you don't have a chance to run up to the Peaser place. You don't frolic because that's what it is. It's the devil in you. You ain't wanting to work. You want to turn your passions loose. You want to get up there and play like playboy, playgirl. You know, and it's in you. You'll die and go to hell. It doesn't matter if you're numbered with the saints. It'll be all the same. You got it in you. All right, let's sing together. I say this to your shame, Paul said. I thank God some people have managed. The reason they've managed is because they've had the Spirit of God and they've listened. And they've overcome. And Jesus said, he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I've overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father. And there's some. Few there be that find it. Little flock, he said, but there are some. Two in the bed, one taken and one left. It could be me and Betty. God could take me and leave Betty. He could take Betty and leave me. Brother John, he could take him and leave the wife. Could take the wife and leave John. Brother Taylor could take Sister Taylor and leave. Brother Taylor, take Brother Taylor, leave Sister Taylor. Brother Atlee, take him and leave Sister Beachy. Take Sister Beachy and leave Brother Atlee. Two in the field, that is to labor in that day. It was field work. Today it's mill work. All kind of work. Jesus said the field is the world. Working out there in the mills or wherever. Stripes, they run around the clock night and day, bound to be somebody left. Two in the field, one taken and one left. It's already happening spiritually. A lot of them are religious, but actually one's been taken and translated into the kingdom of God as to the inner man. The other's still out there in the flesh. Working on the same job together. Sons and fathers, daughters and mothers, sisters and brothers, or just neighbors. So then God secretly is taking the inner man and putting him into the kingdom of God. The outer man has nothing to do with it. When it's all over, the Jews come in. That means redemption of the body. God smites the flesh. That's the end of it. Only those that were inside the kingdom as to the inner man made it. Folks, let me exhort you to get the infilling of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you don't have the Spirit of Christ. Because that's what it is. And if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're not of His. No matter how much you believe. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? It was said to those of John's following, the upper coast of Ephesus. Have you received it? Well, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name to begin with. First thing Paul said, when they said no, under what baptism was you baptized? The 19th chapter of Acts. They said under John's baptism. Paul said it comes in the name. When he comes, he'll come in my name. Said John said, the name's coming. He that's after me. Jesus said, when my spirit comes back as the Holy Ghost, he'll testify of me and he'll come in my name. That's my identity. You've lost yours in death. Now you have my spirit. You're identified with me. Now you're born of my bone. That's the great change. So if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized. You say, but I've been baptized. I tell you again, it doesn't matter if you have been baptized. Those people were baptized in the same river John was baptized in. The same river where the man got his healing, Naaman, in the day of the prophets. Cleansed leprosy. Baptized maybe in the same spot Jesus was baptized in by the same man that baptized Jesus. But it wasn't sufficient. Going down in water is not sufficient. Salvation is not in water. It shall be preached in His name beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And there is none other name given unto heaven in America or any place else where there's salvation. And the Bible said you're baptized for remission of sin because remission is in His name. If you want your sins remitted, then you need to do that. I put this together one more time for you. Water is for the remission. The Bible said be baptized for the remission. And it said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit. The man does the remitting. And remission is in His name. None other name. So take the man that has the power to remit your sins. Take the water by which they are remitted as a grave, buried away from sin, to come up a new body, baptized into Christ, putting on Christ. And take the name in which salvation is in. Put them together and you got remission of sin. When you do this, Paul said, if you've been baptized that way, the Bible said, repent. Be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall have or receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it's unto you, unto your children, to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So then the Bible said they were baptized, and immediately after rebaptizing them, the Bible said they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. When they received the infilling of His Spirit, the Bible said they begin to prophesy, they begin to speak in tongues. And these wonderful things begin to happen, even as it was at Cornelius's when Peter preached to them and the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And Peter said, seeing that there's water, who can forbid that these should not be baptized, even as we that have received the Holy Ghost? That is among the Jews. All right, talking about the kingdom of God, when this gospel goes into all the world. This is why that we're doing what we are concerning satellite or any other place. Just received a letter from Alabama. The man said, Brother Pike, I've received your message on the radio. Said, and I want your tapes, I want your books, your literature. Said, because I heard this and I can tell that you tell it like it is. And said, I want that. Now, I don't know where he heard the radio program, unless he picked up the one in Mississippi. Perhaps he got it come over to Alabama. Maybe he got it there because the Carolina station wouldn't come down that far. And the TV station there in Alabama, he didn't see anything about being there. All right, let's sing together, can we? I love you. I appreciate you. I'm not upbraiding you. I'm just telling you the truth like it is. Every man run to his own house. Said, I got to have my own house. So I left the house of the Lord lay waste. Things become obsolete. Years passed by. Took away my life. Stole my years as to things I wanted to do with them. Had to get rid of many things that was bought so that they could use it for the glory of God. They wouldn't do it. Didn't want it. Wasn't interested. It just become great expense. So then they lost out. So while we're repenting, come back. There ain't no way you'll ever do it. Never do it. He said, where do you get that? Because the Bible said when Moses started to take them into the Canaan land, they could have went straight over. They refused to go. And then afterwards, when they realized what they'd done, they said, we'll go. He said, it's too late. For 40 years they wondered. Somebody said, but afterward they finally went in. No. They wondered for 40 years till all of them died in the wilderness. Not any of them went in. Caleb, Joshua picked up the thing. All the others died in the wilderness and the children went in. When children were born and when they grew up old enough to go in, the Bible says that Joshua took them in. All right, let's sing together. Let's sing I Love Him. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He salvation on Calvary. And I don't mind saying this, it's like I was telling somebody today. I said the woman that gave birth to this child as to Bethlehem. And the child that was caught up to the third heaven as to this revelation, those that went into the real mind that got into this, whatever measure it was. I said, those people, that was the real mother to this message that travailed, even Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, the church, the mother of us all. Even as that group, which was a very small group, I said, they fled away when the child was caught up, which we spoke of this a number of times as to a few years passed, and some of them drifted, got discouraged, couldn't get the job done like they wanted, which I believe had to do with Brother Jim Kirk that represented it when he went out into the hunting thing. And we spoke of the end, how it would come about, as to the Esau part, as to the Jacob part. And at the first, Jacob swallowed up by Esau. But at the last, Esau swallowed up by Jacob. That is to say, the flesh and the spirit. Esau, a hairy man relating to the beast side of it. Jacob, a smooth man relating to the spiritual side of it. Jacob, in the end, getting the birthright. When the world out there has it, according to the government, according to birth, they own the world. They're natural. They got it. They got their government. But in the end, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. The elder as to the birth through Adam and Adam all die shall serve the younger as to the second birth, Jacob, as to the new birth, the spiritual man. All shall be subjected unto him. But anyway, as Jimmy, I was telling some of them, I said, you know, Jimmy, while Jimmy was gone a while, I said, it really grieved me. I said, it hurt me. You know, it like your child, you want to talk to him or just spank a person, you know, and say, look, don't do that. You're too great. You got too many things. It's important. Play around with the beggarly elements of the world. It's the bondage of the carnal mind, the desire of the human part. But we spoke of it, what it had to do with the coming back as to the time and whatever had happened that way. But as I told somebody, I said, I can't feel bad at Jim. I said, I just can't. I said, I love Jim. Jim's sweet to him in my thoughts. Because Jim travailed. Paul said, I travailed till Christ be formed within you. I said, he came first and gave God first place and gave these things as to his life first to God and helped to bring to birth this place called Bethlehem. In much sorrow, Jim did, much pain and misery. And grow discouraged as to God having his way in everything, letting the precious come down so Jim would fulfill his part. Even as the mistakes of David or others in the past, all the hand of God, suffering it, having his way in the good and evil. Evil can't come to a city unless I've sinned it, saith the Lord. And I said, as to the return of the mother that birthed Bethlehem, I said it's sweet to God. Because it's all his plan, part of his plan. I said, but many of them that was with the little mother was nothing but harlots. They never lived right. They never brought a Christ child into the world. Their mind was on self and business. They gave, but I said they gave for prosperity, knowing that as they give, they get more. I said, and they followed it, and it finally showed up as to their hearts going after the world. And I said, now that the return is here, some of them will return as to the little mother, the purifying. Come right on in and God will bless their hearts and even in the latter part, bless them and let them know he loves them and restore them. Satan being after them will be devoured, taken out of the way. But I said, the others will come back too. But like the mother harlot that smothered her child to death and in the end wanted to claim the other child, I said, they won't get it. It's not theirs. They can say it's ours. You know, we're the ones that founded it. We're the ones that brought it up, whatever, but it won't work like that. They'll just be there and that'll be all. It'll be like Judas when the darkness comes, you know, to go out and hang themselves, or that is, the old saying, give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. All right, let's sing again. Can we sing together? I shouldn't just preach to you and preach to you. But these thoughts are just on my mind, I guess, tonight. Soon be going into Jeff, which has great significance toward what we're talking about. Great significance as to what has happened and is happening that way. Even to the three-day meeting, like I told my wife, I said in the three-day meeting, I said they put the satellite thing off. Moved it over to this coming Sunday. And I said, you know, that's so perfect. 3 days as to Brother Branham, as to the resurrection. Taken down Good Friday. Last time, remember, the crucifixion. Then Saturday, I said, and on a Sunday, they've got it fixed to where this thing is supposed to go on satellite. Whether they make it or not, that's the plan. The child on Sunday caught up as to the resurrection, as to Monday the morrow after the Sabbath, or Sunday the Jews morrow after the Sabbath, caught up as to the West Star, the message after the resurrection as to Brother Branham, where it went down in Jeff. So beautiful. Many things that we could say about it today or tonight as what we call the present day truth. Well, we've talked to you about so many things, it would take a long time to go into that, but it's so fascinating to see how the great God of heaven works all things after the counsel of his own will. So beautiful, the Bible said, is the multitude of his thoughts. So beautiful, for he made all things beautiful in this day. Okay, let's sing together again, can we? The altars are open as we sing this. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It's getting plainer and plainer. The light is shining brighter and brighter, and we can see ourselves more clearer. Our intentions, our motives, the way that we've been, what we've done, which means the end of the world or the end of all flesh, the Bible said, has come before me. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, for the end of all flesh has come up before me. And all flesh has corrupted its way before God. All flesh, secretly gossiping, backbiting, whatever you've done, you've corrupted your way. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art called, oh, do not pass me by. Can you sing with me? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art, sing that with me. Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And why others thou art called, oh, do not pass me by. I really believe that the end of the world is here. I can see it. You might say, well, I don't see it. Jesus said, thou hypocrite, you cannot discern the signs of the time, and yet ye discern the signs of the weather. Oh, thou hypocrite. He said to a people, generation of vipers, a sinless and adulterous generation in the last day, upon whom he'll rain fire and brimstone past feeling. O generation of vipers, strengthen the things, he said to the church. Those things that remain, or I'll come and move your candlestick. Generation of vipers, he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Seeing that others did these horrible things and you knew better. You listened to the word of God. You heard all of these things, even you girls and boys, you young folks. Jesus, at the age of 12, being about his father's business, said, you heard these things, you saw them, you still neglected the truth and went on done the things of error. God has not given you the spirit of error. Therefore, that means that you are a child of Satan. Children of the devil. He said, Satan is your father. You do the will of Satan, even the lust of the flesh. He savors the things that be of the world and of the flesh. His will you will do. For you're taken into captivity at the will of the devil. Children of bondage, the bonds childish to the beggarly elements of the world. As to the gullible desire of the prosperity. Woe unto you that's feathered your nest, you that are at ease in Zion. One woe cometh and then another woe. You that rebel against the word, he said, you didn't gather with me. And said, because you didn't go along with the saints and gathered with me, he said, then you scattered abroad, you gossip, backbiting, poison people's minds, causing not to come to church or not to listen to the word of God or to go another way. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell when you knew better than to do these things? Horrible, horrible, horrible. But there's one thing about it. It's gone. The little saying, only one life. It'll soon be passed. And just that which is done for Christ will last. It's gone. You've squandered it like the prodigal, many of you. Some of you that will make it in will be as if fire. You don't have any fruits unto perfection. You haven't done anything as to perfect your life before God. It's just been an up and down, God forgive me, over and over laying the foundation of repentance. Never going on to perfection. Never getting interested in God. Religion, just a pastime with you. It's something that you just put in your life. You've never really incorporated in your lifestyle to meditate in His laws day and night. You've never put it into your life as to make any self-sacrifice, as a self-denial to follow the Lord. Or to try to grow in the knowledge and or in the grace of the Lord Jesus. You've never done that. You've been so busy laughing and talking and eating and drinking and doing the things in your home and around your home and in the behalf of your home and the behalf of your children. And your mind has been continually occupied with natural, carnal ways of life. Eating, drinking, buying, selling. You're never really taking time out for it. And if you get in, it'll be as if a fire. Because the Bible said, strive, that is, make a special effort to get in. If two men were striving together, one to overcome the other, that'd be really putting forth an effort. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Said, for many shall try and not be able. Many shall try and not be able. Once the Lord of the house has risen up and shut to the door, you'll begin to knock, wanting to come in. But he said, you won't get in. Like the virgins, 10 didn't have the Spirit as to the baptism of the Holy Ghost as to the oil. They were just believers. That is, they were virgins. That is to believe, being set apart. But there was 10 that did. A lot of churches in the world today have a name that they live, but they're dead. That is to say, a stillbirth means that you don't have the Spirit of Christ. So then what are you going to do? Be left. And the night's getting dark, the midnight cry. I tell you again, the darkness, that means the very depths of night. As to the point of chains. And when God says night, He's speaking of intellectual darkness. Gross darkness shall cover the people. That is, they'll get ball game minded. They'll eating minded. Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and buying and selling. Laughing and talking and joking. Careers, businesses, celebrities, dignitaries. At home, home life, families, riding. All these kind of things. That's darkness with God. That's darkness. And it's taken over the saints of God. That is to say, people that used to be Christians. And it's warring against the mind of the saints. Or you say, well, God didn't say that it would happen to the saints. Yes, He did say it would happen to the saints. He said this darkness would be so great that the saints would go to sleep. Like the people have at Bethlehem. They went to sleep. They've left everything undone. They've left their offices to get them a new car, to have them a good job, to make a living, to be there and to do the things that's natural. They went to sleep. And the Bible said at the midnight cry, the watchman on the wall called out. He called out because the blood was to be upon his hands if the enemy came near, and he didn't cry out. And he cried out, and all of a sudden those people begin to listen. They arose from their sleep, and they begin to say within their heart, no doubt as to the way the story reads, that we've been asleep. You know, you don't know that you've been asleep till you wake up. You don't know it while you're asleep. Nobody can't tell you you're asleep. But when you wake up, then you say, they no doubt thought, my God, we've been asleep. And here it is at midnight. And I hear a voice. I hear a voice. Somebody's calling. And somebody said, that's the voice of the bridegroom. I brought it out to you here, the Jewish girl, the bridegroom, how she sets up in the night, or she sets her candle over here where she can light it because they didn't have any electric light. Set it over there. She sipped of his wine. That is to say, I've offered you the chalice and you've accepted it. That's to say, I'm his. And he said, I go away to prepare the place, as it was said concerning the bridegroom and the bride. He goes to build the house. And then he says, I'll come again to receive you on my own, that where I am there, ye might be also. And so then she waits, ready, all the time ready, waiting. That just like that, she's up, she lights her candle. You know, but many of them at the midnight cry couldn't light a candle because they didn't have any oil. And that day they had a little candle that held oil. Didn't have any oil. They couldn't light the candle. The candle has gone out, burn out, as they went to sleep. But others went to sleep with oil in their lamp. And after a while they wake up. And so it is. We're coming now to a great revival of awakening. People have been hard and fast asleep, eating and drinking, reveling, going everywhere, having themselves a time, buying, settling down, homesteading, putting their children through college to make them some kind of executive or give them a good life in this world. God was clear out of the picture. No program for God, even in the churches. The preachers have taught them to this, taught them to do this and to be good citizens. And they got caught down in Babylon like Daniel. Some of them were they're in the rule today like Esther. But anyway, that's where it's at. And now this cry is fixing to go forth. What is the cry? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Behold the bridegroom coming. Because the bridegroom, what is the sign of thy coming? It was said. The bridegroom cometh. He said, I'll tell you when the bridegroom cometh. Said, these things are the beginning of sorrows, and you see all these things, and folks, it's already happening. Then shall be great tribulation upon those people, speaking of the Jews. Already, you watch, they're going to rise up against them. I'm telling you, they're going to rise up against them. Look how cunning that little nation was over there to involve America, to force America down on the Jews. Said, we'll kill your man, you get down on the Jews. You've been fellowshipping the Jews. Look how cunning and crafty they are. I told you from among the Islamic people that would come the terror. I was checking the rate the other day as to the multiplying of believers. Did you know that the Catholic Church? Did you know the Protestant Church? Did you know what they call the Christian Church? Did you know what they call the Buddhists, Confucius, all the others? Even India with their great masses of people? Hinduism? Did you know where the progress was? The Islamics doubled. You would never dream of that. You'd think that's the nobody. They doubled in the believers. They doubled in their church stride. Doubled. Now that means a big thing because the Catholics shot way up. Some of the others shot way up as Hinduism. But the Islamics just slipped in and doubled it. See, that is to say, around through the Muslims, those kind of people, it's bad, folks. America's filled with them. All the other countries is filled with them. I have nothing against them people. Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. I have nothing against the Catholic people. But you saw the opposition of Catholicism over in Indiana. When the man done everything he could using the law and all of his power and influential powers to stop Christ, and by faith we overrode him and God cut him down like a tree. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to be a great awakening. Too late, too late, too late. You love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus together. Fullness of time, the end of the world. Let's sing that little chorus, can we? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more. Sing it again now. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. What is the coming of Christ? It is the revealed revelation. It's the Spirit of Christ revealed to the human mind that has come before knowledge and dwells in the temple of mankind. And if any man deny this, he's Antichrist. Time shall be no more. Peter saw the fullness of time, and he knew the veil was rent in twain, because he opened the door to show the red veil. And he said, this is the end of the world, folks. 483 years, the end of the world. God made an end of sin by sending the Son. Now we are they that dwell in heaven. As to the child that was caught up in heaven, Revelation 12. That's the war in heaven, which means Calvary, the fullness of time. And time. It Calvary was the fullness of time. It's Revelation 12. The angel Jesus, the covenant on his head, he that sware that time was ended. I finished it. It's all finished, he said. Time, everything. I folded it up. I've laid it away. All that you desired, Heavenly Father, I've finished. I've not left the jot nor tittle. Now then, the church is secure, even on down to the end of the church ages, in the day when Brother Pike and Brother Taylor will come in. All of it from Calvary on. And this is heaven, as to them that love the Lord. And time, the fullness of time, the days of Noah, all things gathered into Christ, as into the ark. This is as the days of Noah and me. All flesh have corrupted their way before God. God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Calvary. So then, that was the end of the world. Peter said, that's it, folks. 483 years, that's the end of the world. The thing won't come back into view until the Jews are resurrected from the dead. They were cast away, and they represented God in the earth. Then the kingdom of God came, and you and I are in heaven. We're in the kingdom of God. And time. And when this gospel of the kingdom, beginning there at Jerusalem, Calvary, shall be preached into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. That is, the world will come back into view to be judged. The Jews, as to the resurrection of the dead, all of them that died, and the natural will come back into existence to be judged, then to bring in the millennium as to the restoration of the garden. Aren't you glad you're Christian? Aren't you glad you know the truth? Aren't you glad you're secure in God? Only the elect made it, and the rest were blinded, Paul said. And time. We didn't do that as Christians. Said, in them that were ordained unto eternal life, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believed, and the rest were blinded. What this speaks hid this gospel, it'd be hid to them that are lost. So don't feel bad when your brother, sister, mother, daddy, son or daughter does those things. And time, you'll have not the love of the world in you, but you'll have the love of the Father in you. And you'll have a love. The love of the Father is to win souls, to save people from hell, to be pure and holy and godly, to help the widow and the orphan. The love of the Father is to do His desire and establish His kingdom. To do Thy will, O God, if I come, the Christ said. And time, He's living on the inside of you. He's living on the inside of you. Christ. Well, as He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as is written of me, O God, to do Thy will. For offering and sacrifices as to Israel Thou wouldest not, but a body Thou hast prepared me. So He's living in a body today. He lived in a body then. He's living in a body today. For a body Thou hast prepared me. So then we give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more.